Should we kneel for prayer? Start our Sabbath worship? Father, we thank you for the Sabbath day. We know that Christ and his angels are here because you've promised it. Wherever we gather in your name, that we will have that kind of company. We're so very grateful for the watch care that you gave us all this week so that we could come and gather together again. Please accept our combined and public gratitude for helping us to be here and not to be injured or maybe even no longer living. We thank you for the watch care you give us, and we ask that you keep doing it, that you extend it to those people from our immediate families who have chosen not to know you and become very angry at us if we try to share anything that's true that you've taught us. We ask that the Holy Spirit be our guide today and be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We left off in our Desire of Ages. Didn't have much left of that chapter to begin with, and we left off in chapter 55, page number 508, the third paragraph, beginning with the words, Thomas would not believe. That's where we're going to start, on page 508, the third paragraph. Let's start reading. It says there, Thomas would not believe until he had thrust his finger into the wound made by the Roman soldiers. Peter had denied him in his humiliation and rejection. These painful remembrances came before them in distinct lines. They had been with him, but they had not known or appreciated him. But how these things now stirred their hearts as they recognized their unbelief. As priests and rulers combined against them, and they were brought before councils and thrust into prison, the followers of Christ rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. They rejoiced to prove before men and angels that they recognized the glory of Christ and chose to follow him at the loss of all things. It is as true now as in the apostolic days that without the illumination of the divine spirit, humanity cannot discern the glory of Christ. The truth and the work of God are unappreciated by a world-loving and compromising Christianity. Not in the ways of ease, of earthly honor, of worldly conformity, are the followers of the Master found. They are far in advance in the path of toil and humiliation and reproach, in the front of the battle, against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6, verse 12, Revised Version. And now, as in Christ's day, they are misunderstood and reproached and oppressed by the priests and Pharisees of their time. How much better way could Christ say history is repeating? And how many times have we said the Pharisees in Christ's day aren't any different than the Pharisees in our day? Well, here God says it himself, doesn't he? He says it himself. He says, and now as in Christ's day, they are misunderstood and reproached and oppressed by the priests and Pharisees of their time. You see, Desire of Ages is for us these days, friends. If we're one of Christ's followers, receiving misunderstanding and reproach and oppression instead of being understood, instead of being welcomed, instead of being assisted, you're feeling misunderstood, you're feeling reproached, you're feeling oppressed by people who claim to be Seventh-day Adventists and Christian. But God tells us here in this book that even today we're going to be misunderstood and reproached and oppressed by the priests and Pharisees of our time. And these would be heathen Laodicean Pharisees. That's what they were in the days of Christ, and that's what is at the head of Christ's professed church today, just as it was when he was alive and walking on earth. Heathen Laodicean Pharisees are controlling things. God has done everything he can to give us his word, that we recognize the difference between that which is of Satan's religion, heathenism, or of Christ's religion, Christianity, most specifically, the clear and decided distinctions between Christian Seventh-day Adventism and Satan's religion, or at least one of his religions, one of his heathen religions, the religion of the heathen church of the Laodiceans. Entirely different. Christ's Christian church of Seventh-day Adventists is entirely different than Satan's heathen church of the Laodiceans. And I'll just give you one guess, as in Christ's day, which one of these churches or companies of people, because that's what basically a church is, a company of people, which one of these companies of people are controlling God's professed people in these last days? Well, God has essentially told us history is repeating. If you don't know the answer to the question, then look back at Christ's day and ask the question again. Were the heathen Laodicean Pharisees and the priests of their clan, were they controlling God's professed people and leading them to death, to eternal death, in Christ's day? Yes, they were. And Christ has told us in so many ways, history is repeating. He's told us that we will be misunderstood, reproached, and oppressed by the priests and Pharisees of our time. And yet most people, a lot of people, who profess to be Seventh-day Adventists, cannot tell you the difference, or they do not make use of God's knowledge telling you the difference, between that which is of Satan's religion of heathenism and that which is of Christ's religion of Christianity. Can you imagine the supreme nonsense of having these books and reading what God has to say, and then having to put up with baby-minded people? And you might think baby-minded people is a slur, but the way Christ talks about them is far, far more descriptive and cutting. And God says in 7 Bible Commentary 963 that they are conceited, that they are vain, that they falsify truth. And he tells us unless they are converted, they cannot have a place in heaven because their unsanctified wisdom would mar heaven. What is an example of their unsanctified wisdom? Well, they think they can do abortion even though God says that it's murder five different times on two pages in Solemn Appeal, page 100 and 101. And then to hide that fact, they try to destroy those two pages and take them off the CD-ROM. They've done that. They've already done that. They've proved, in other words, that they are murderers. And not just murderers of ordinary people. They are murderers, as God says, of helpless, unborn babes. That's the church you're going to today. If you're sitting in a conference, professed Christian and Seventh-day Adventist church, that conference church is in reality, if you know the difference between Christianity and heathenism as God teaches it, that conference church of merely professed Seventh-day Adventists today is just like the conference, you might say, church in Christ's day, controlled by heathen Laodicean Pharisees and their priests. History is repeating. How do you think we could escape that when God tells us very clearly, history is repeating? Desire of Ages 258, paragraph 1, the first few words in that paragraph. God echoes the same thing in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 15. And finally here, in Desire of Ages, page 509, God tells us that if we are Christians, if we are His followers, and we are learning more and more, and we're following Him, then we should expect to be misunderstood, reproached, oppressed by the priests and Pharisees of our time. And notice God did not specify these Pharisees, because He left it open, because there are two classes of Pharisees on earth. There are the heathen Laodicean Pharisees who deceptively pass themselves off as Christian and Seventh-day Adventists and get away with it when people don't know what heathenism is, according to God. And then there are the Babylonian heathen Pharisees who do the same thing. They trample on God's true Sabbath and they keep a counterfeit Sabbath called Sunday. But lest the other heathen clan be left out, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees, who outnumber any Seventh-day Adventists today on planet Earth, and certainly there are no Christian Seventh-day Adventists left in the conference church, because if there were, they would be sinning. According to Desire of Ages, page 152, paragraph 3, we should not give sanction, in other words, what? Approval. We should not give sanction to sin by our words, our silence, our deeds, or our presence. In other words, if you're going to be present, God says, around heathenism that's passing itself off as His religion of Christianity, and in these days, as in Christ's days, that would be the heathen Laodicean religion that tramples on God's Sabbath and is upholding a counterfeit Sabbath called Sabbath polluting, which is far more deceptive and far more dangerous and far more of a successful heathen Sabbath in getting souls into Satan's fiery pit than is the true Sabbath. Take a look at it from Christ's day. His church, His professed people, at the first coming of Christ, were controlled by Satan's unconverted, idolatrous, and or heathen Laodicean Pharisees. If you have a question on that, you can read page 88 and page 89 and page 280, paragraph 3. There's more, there's far more, but that establishes the fact. In Christ's day, the people were being misled, as they are today, by heathen Laodicean Pharisees who are leading people in all manner of sin, starting out with, right at the top of the list, the violation of God's first and second commandments against idolatry or heathenism. Did you know that? The first and second commandments are against Satan's religion of heathenism. Of course, people are so completely illiterate when it comes to God's Word today that they set in the heathen church of the Laodiceans in open sin and lost to the kingdom of God, I might add. And they call that satanic church the Seventh-day Adventist Church. What blasphemy! That's like looking at a mass murderer like Hitler and calling him a beloved saint. Brothers and sisters, that's just the tip of the iceberg as to how incredibly ignorant the people were in Christ's day of the clear and decided distinctions between Satan's religion of heathenism and Christ's religion of Christianity. Nothing has changed, spiritually speaking, in that regard. Today, the great mass of heathen Laodicean Pharisees pass themselves off as Christian Seventh-day Adventists. But in the day of God, they will meet with bitter disappointment for two reasons. They have not upon their forehead the seal of the living God. Instead, they have Satan's mark, the mark of the beast. And second, because of this, because they don't have the seal of the living God, they will not receive passport through the gates of God's holy city. Now, you see, that's pretty important for a couple million people who are in heathen Laodiceanism today and misrepresenting that as if it were Christian Seventh-day Adventism. It's pretty important because God spells it all out and tells them what's going to happen to them, and their final destination is the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. And God even tells us they're going to be bitter on that day. It's all there for yourself in Desire of Ages, this lesson from Desire of Ages in another way. In 7 Bible Commentary 970, just read the first column from column 1 on down to column 7. The next time you hear some satanic heathen Laodicean leader, be he Sabbath school teacher, preacher, or general conference president, because, folks, the General Conference President today is openly satanic, openly heathen, and openly Laodicean. And if you think he's a Christian Seventh-day Adventist, you're lost, right along with him. God has told us in so many ways that we need to understand his religion of Christianity in contrast with Satan's religion of heathenism. People are not listening. They're rich and increased with goods, and they don't need anything. They don't need anything at all. Least of all do they need someone coming up to them and telling them that they're not going to have passport through the gates of God's holy city. What do you suppose would have happened had you been the one that was misunderstood and reproached and oppressed, and then you stood up and told the Pharisees that their religion was false and heathen and a deception, and they weren't going to be in God's kingdom? Well, you can imagine what would happen in Christ's day. I can think of things like stoning, can't you? At least you would be censored, publicly humiliated, if possible. And oh, it's possible. Satan's heathen people are very good at public humiliation. Look what the heathen Laodiceans did to Christ. They turned him over to the heathen Babylonians, the Romans. And together, they're responsible for his murder. And I dare say that the Father, Christ's Father, will surely avenge the death of his son. And yet so many people today are calling themselves Christian Seventh-day Adventists, and they're following right in that murderous rut, extending all the way back to Christ's day at the first coming. That murderous rut that was established by heathen Laodiceanism passing itself off as Christ's primary religion on the face of the earth. Nothing has changed in this regard. Not a thing. And God has given us fair warning here, hasn't he? I hope that it strengthens and encourages you, Christian Seventh-day Adventist, because if you exist today, and you do, outside of conference channels and you're worshiping with Christ in his favorite places, outside of heathenism, brothers and sisters, in one or few words, our description of Christ's favorite places. When his professed people become heathen and Laodicean, as they're prone to do through history, Christ also tells us that they are Christless, which means what? He's not there. He's on the outside knocking to get in. That is the classic Laodicean description of Christ in the last few verses of Revelation chapter 3. If Christ is on the outside of the heathen church of the Laodiceans today, and he is, because it's a Christless church, One Selected Message 357, One Notebook Leaflets, page 99, says so. Two different places Christ warns us of the fact that they are Christless. That means Christ isn't there. Don't you think you better understand a church that's really heathen and Laodicean and Christless instead of standing around boasting about how you're going to heaven and how many years you've been in the church? Means nothing if you've been in heathen Laodiceanism all your life. And if you were born and raised in what's called the Christian Seventh-day Adventist Church today, the Conference Church, Christ guarantees you that you were born and raised in the heathen church of the Laodiceans, Satan's church, friends, and it's nothing for you to boast about as to how many generations your family has been in that church. So go right on ahead and misunderstand and reproach and oppress Christ's minority of followers today as they stand with him outside the gate, knocking to get in. Remember what the word Christian means. It means followers of Christ. The heathen church of the Laodiceans is Christless. One Selected Message 357, One Notebook Leaflets, page 99. It's Christless. Christ is on the outside. So where are Christ's real followers? Inside in heathenism, or outside with Christ learning Christianity and learning the truth regarding Christian Seventh-day Adventism in clear and decided distinction from heathen Laodiceanism? Sad, isn't it, that so many people look at Satan's religion, either one or the other, heathen Laodiceanism, in its Sabbath polluting, or they look at heathen Babylonianism in its Sunday keeping. All heathen churches, these two in particular, promote a false Sabbath before God. Sabbath polluting of today's heathen Laodicean Pharisees is just as false and fraudulent, and I might say more dangerous, than the counterfeit Sabbath promoted by Satan's heathen Babylonians Sunday. If you don't think that Sabbath polluting that's going on today is more deceptive than Sunday keeping that's going on today, then you ask yourself why you're sitting in the heathen church of the Laodiceans being charged with the modern sins of that church in your silence Desire of Ages, 152, paragraph 3. If you're present and silent around heathenism, then you're guilty of heathenism. Desire of Ages, page 152, paragraph 3. And that's why God's Word teaches us that there is not one single Christian Seventh-day Adventist in that church today. Because they cannot remain silent, because every single commandment of God is being openly transgressed by not only the Sunday-keeping and heathen Babylonian church, but also by Satan's other heathen rank, the Sabbath-polluting and heathen church of the Laodiceans. Let's continue on in Desire of Ages. The next paragraph says, the kingdom of God comes not with outward show. The gospel of the grace of God, with its spirit of self-abnegation, in other words, self-denial, can never be in harmony with the spirit of the world. Notice two different kinds of spirit talked about here. Unfortunately, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees who printed this book added to the confusion by not using proper capitalization. Simple little thing, isn't it? Obviously, God's spirit should be capitalized, the spirit of abnegation, the spirit of self-denial. That's that word there, spirit, should be capitalized. The Lord rebuked the heathen Laodiceans who show such disrespect to God that they link his spirit in the same exact way when they print things as Satan's heathen spirit. It only goes to show you, friends, right here in print, how deceived people are by heathen Laodiceanism. They can't tell the difference between God's Christian spirit and Satan's heathen spirit. We'll read it again. It says, the kingdom of God comes not with outward show. The gospel of the grace of God with its spirit, and that should be a capital S, of self-abnegation, can never be in harmony with the spirit, and that should be a small s, with the heathen, in other words, with the heathen spirit of this world. And this world is in heathenism, friends, and all that is in it is in heathenism, is going to be charged with the sin of heathenism if the individuals are silent. We live in a heathen world. That's Satan's religion in this world, and it's dominant. And Christ's people are going to be charged with sin if they remain silent while they're in this world of heathenism. What should be their primary song in these last days, or poem, you might say? They should be saying in so many words and actions, there is that which is heathen, and here is that which is Christian. There is that which is heathen Laodiceanism, controlling God's professed people today, as it did in the past. And God tells us the great mass of them, the majority of them, who are heathen Laodicean Pharisees controlling Christ's church today as it was being controlled in the past, are going to meet with bitter disappointment in the day of God. Can you imagine the bitter disappointment they're going to have? Today they're calling themselves Christians and Seventh-day Adventists and the people of God and the remnant, and they're boasting and bragging. Do you know God says they boast in 7 Bible Commentary 963? But he also says unless they're converted, they cannot be taken to heaven. Do you not think then you better find out what a heathen Laodicean is? Because he's not going to heaven. And if you're following him, i.e. the General Conference President today, who is as heathen and Laodicean as any primary leader of God's professed church throughout history. If you're following him, you will be meeting with bitter disappointment in the day of God, because you don't have the seal of God on your forehead, because then you don't have passport through the gates of God's holy city, because you're too busy boasting and dishonoring God like all heathen do. Do you ever notice the similarity between the heathen church of the Laodiceans and the heathen church? I mean, I'm talking the primary heathen church of the Babylonians. That would be the Roman Catholic Church. Have you ever noticed the similarities between the Laodicean church and the Babylonian church? Yes, there are similarities. And people get these similarities confused. They want to say that they're one and the same thing, but they are not. When they look at the two churches, heathen Laodicean church and the heathen Babylonian church, they're tempted to say that Laodicea has become Babylon or some other absurd idea and supreme nonsense. Because they don't know what heathenism is. That's the thing that the heathen church of the Laodiceans has in common with the heathen church of the Babylonians, i.e. the Roman Catholic Church, right at the top of the list. They're both in heathenism. If you don't know what heathenism is, shame on you. God has written a great deal about it. You've never heard of heathen Laodiceans before? You thought a Laodicean was the same thing as a Seventh-day Adventist? Shame on you. You better change your thinking. And I'm telling you, it's got to be deep down in your soul if you're planning on escaping the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Because when this battle is over, Christ comes the third time with New Jerusalem to set down here on planet Earth. He's going to set in judgment of every heathen individual on this planet. And every person on this planet falls into one of three categories, friends, and God knows where everybody belongs. Everybody on this earth is either a Christian, and there's very few of them. Well, there's lots of people running around claiming to be Christian. And there's lots of churches on the face of the earth today, denominated, tax-exempt. There's lots of churches on the face of the earth today, but there's not one of them with a tax-exempt status and a corporate status and a big marble facade all over the place of different buildings. What I'm getting at, friends, is that there's not one church today in the sisterhood of the Laodicean church that is not, from top to bottom, from wall to wall, a part of Satan's heathen religion and one sect of the synagogue of Satan. Do you know the heathen church of the Babylonians is one sect of the synagogue of Satan? And the other sect of the synagogue of Satan is the heathen church of the Laodiceans. Isn't it the most supreme nonsense that we have people walking in the synagogue of Satan and saying that it's God's church? That's just how blind God is trying to tell us Laodiceans are when he says, poor, blind, dumb, and naked, to describe them. Rich and increased with goods, but in need of nothing. Why? Because they're fifth generation Christian Seventh-day Adventists. The lie has come out of their mouth so many times they believe it. But God sees through it, and he has given his word so that his people can see through the lie as well. And once you see through this phony religion that Satan has passed off in this earth in two different forms, heathen Laodiceanism and heathen Babylonianism, you will never ever go back into the darkness of deception again. Even if you're lost, friends, even if you walk away from Christ, you will always know the truth as long as you draw breath. If you're a committed Christian, knowing the truth is everything. If you're a vacillating, half-hearted Christian, a heathen Laodicean, you might walk with the Christian Seventh-day Adventist for a little while, and then you start feeling a little set upon and lonely by all of the misunderstandings and the reproach and the oppression that is heaped upon you. Let's continue on with where we left off in Desire of Ages. We left off in the second paragraph on page 509, and we'll continue there. It says, the two principles that govern either the spirit of this world, which is heathen, or the spirit of abnegation, which is of God, which is Christ, which is one of his fellow members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the Christian Godhead. Well, brothers and sisters, if you study heathenism out, you'll find out that the heathen Godhead also has its doppelgangers, its fraudulent people that are really passing off Satan's Trinity, Satan's three gods in one. And I say gods with a small g. You better know the difference between the Christian Father in Christianity and the heathen Father God in heathenism. You better know the difference between the true Christ in Christian Seventh-day Adventism, who is rarely followed today, and the counterfeit Christ, the visible Christ of heathenism. Have you ever asked yourself why the professed Seventh-day Adventist Church has the same visible Christ as the Roman Catholic Church? I'll tell you why. Because they're both in heathenism. And they're both promoting Satan's heathen and false Christ God. That's why they have the exact same visible Christ. Now you go ahead and just keep right on following that God and that so-called art, which God calls idolatry and heathenism when you make an image of Christ. You just go ahead and follow that religion in your stupidity. And one day very soon, when you find yourself on the way to the lake of fire to be extinguished forever, you just remember that a little body of people living in the hope of being judged by God to be Christian Seventh-day Adventists told you these things. And you remember what you did to them. You joined in the misunderstanding, and you mocked and you ridiculed and you sneered at them, and you reproached and you oppressed them, and they're praising God for it as they read this page in Desire of Ages today. And we continue to read. The two principles are antagonistic. The spirit of abnegation, in other words, and the spirit of this world are antagonistic. Then why do so many people find them in harmony? The heathen festival of the Satan's counterfeit goddess of power, Satan's counterfeit goddess that is being promoted today as if she were the Holy Spirit, Satan's holiday celebrating all that, is the festival of Ishtar. Today we call it Easter. Is it any wonder that God says that Easter is the old trick of Satan? And if you're a Christian Seventh-day Adventist, friends, you're the only person on the face of the earth that has been privileged with the responsibility of that information. So you remember that the next time you're celebrating Easter in a conference church. The spirit of abnegation, Christian, is antagonistic to the spirit of this world, heathen. And they celebrate Ishtar, or Easter, to honor Satan's goddess of power. Tragic, isn't it? It seems so simple once you recognize the differences between heathen Laodiceanism and Christian Seventh-day Adventism. They can't hide from you anymore. But it's so very difficult when you throw away the books, the Bible and the writings of Ellen White, like heathen Laodiceans so typically do. Continuing on in Desire of Ages, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." There, they capitalize that one. Good for them. "For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Do you understand what God is saying here? I think you do. Heathen Laodiceans, in other words, who call themselves Christian Seventh-day Adventists today, have the heathen spirit of this world, which is totally at combat, totally at war, totally antagonistic to the true spirit of Christ, to the spirit of abnegation. And people are so obtuse in heathen Laodiceanism that when truth comes to them, for example, Easter is the old trick of Satan, in quote, 1888 Great Controversy, 387 paragraph 1. You tell that to a heathen Laodicean next spring when they're celebrating their goddess's festival. And you know what they'll do? They'll think you're a foolish person. They look at truth and they call it foolishness. What chance do people like that have in getting to the kingdom of God? Zero. As long as they don't come out of heathenism. Zero. When God's finished, there won't be one heathen left on planet Earth or anywhere in the universe. You want to belong to them? They're socially dominant today. They're financially dominant as they were in Christ's day. They're in the majority, and they control everything in God's professed church today. You want to be with them? You want to be popular? Just stay with them. But remember, you have about 75 years on planet Earth, roughly speaking, average. And then it's payday for you. When the minority are watching from within in the walls of New Jerusalem, and you're burning in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone to be here no more forever, one of your last thoughts will be, "I could have been in that holy city. If I would have but accepted reproach instead of approval from heathen Laodiceans. If I would have accepted oppression instead of help from heathen Laodiceans." How blind can you get when you call God's truth foolishness? And that's exactly what's going on today. They cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, as God says here in the last sentence of the second paragraph, "For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them." Even if you tell them, they listen with stony ground hearing and they do not know what you're saying, except that you are speaking to them truth that they think is foolishness. They can't know the truth because they are of the spirit of this world, and truth is spiritually discerned. They don't have the spirit of Christ. They don't have Christ. Do you think they have his Holy Spirit? Do you think God's personalities work disjointly with each other, that Christ is on the outside of the heathen church of the Laodiceans, knocking to get in, but the Holy Spirit is inside there, then you don't know God. Period. You don't know God. God's Holy Spirit is on the outside with Christ, and they're all knocking to get in. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But just as his people have historically done, when they were deceived and blinded into Satan's religion of heathen Laodiceanism, they've barred all access for the truth to enter that church. And they're steadily strengthening their fortifications. Continuing on in Desire of Ages, it says, but today in the religious world, there are multitudes who, as they believe, are working for the establishment of the kingdom of God as an earthly and temporal dominion. They desire to make our Lord the ruler of the kingdom of this world. Do you think God will accept the position? Absolutely not. If there is one being in this universe that understands the difference between heathen and Christian, it is God himself, because he literally wrote the books on it. It goes on and it says here, they desire to make our Lord the ruler of the kingdom of this world, the ruler in the courts and camps, its legislative halls, its palaces and marketplaces. They expect him to rule through legal enactments enforced by human authority. Since Christ is not now here in person, they themselves will undertake to act in his stead, to execute the laws of his kingdom. The establishment of such a kingdom, a heathen kingdom, in other words, heathen kingdom promoted by heathen subjects, heathen Laodiceans on the one side of the narrow way, and heathen Babylonians in the other ditch along the narrow way. That's the kingdom they're establishing. It's called a heathen kingdom. And it says, God's word tells us clearly, it says, the establishment of such a kingdom is what the Jews desired in the days of Christ. They would have received Jesus had he been willing to establish a temporal dominion to enforce what they regarded as the laws of God and to make them the expositors of his will and the agents of his authority. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, my kingdom isn't heathen Laodiceans, and I am not your God. Your God is Satan with a small g. Doesn't that make sense? The very term lukewarm means aiding the enemy or aiding Satan. How can a lukewarm individual be a Christian Seventh-day Adventist when they're aiding the enemy? Four Testimonies, page 87, paragraph 2. Continuing on again, it says, they would have received Jesus had he been willing to establish a temporal dominion to enforce what they regarded as the laws of God, to make them the expositors of his will and the agents of his authority. But he said, my kingdom, my Christian kingdom, is not of this world, is not of this heathen world. John 18, verse 36. And Desire of Ages, page 509, paragraph 3. And the last sentence in the paragraph, he would not accept the earthly throne. Christ is on the outside knocking to get in the heathen church of the Laodiceans, and they offer him to be their deity. But they do not repent of idolatry or heathenism. And here we see Christ's response. He would not accept the earthly throne. The government under which Jesus lived was corrupt and oppressive. Still is, isn't it? History is repeating. On every hand were crying abuses, extortion, intolerance, and grinding cruelty. History's repeating, isn't it? If you stood up for the truth in the heathen church of the Laodiceans, you know the truth of the words that I just read. If you've never stood up for anything, but like a coward, quietly joined the great mass of people headed for destruction who call themselves Seventh-day Adventists, and you've joined their heathen Laodicean ranks, and you're boasting of being God's people or the remnant, can you imagine how bitter you're going to feel one day when others are going through the gates of God's holy city while you're being burned by the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone? It's not too late to do something about it. The first thing I tell you as a pastor for over 40 years, the first thing you need to do if you want to be in God's kingdom in these last days is you need to find out the difference, the clear and decided distinctions between Christian Seventh-day Adventism that's on the outside with Christ knocking to get in, and the heathen and Laodicean religion of the vast majority of people who call themselves Christians and Seventh-day Adventists today. If you can't find one, just go take a look at a conference church. They're all heathen, every single one of them. Oh, but somebody says, not mine, not mine, we're different. You belong to the sisterhood of the heathen church of the Laodiceans, and you're sitting there in silence. You are as heathen as they come. Wake up, or you're dead. Simple. All your boasting about going to heaven is going to do you no good. You are dead if you're in heathenism. When Christ is done with this battle, there won't be one single heathen creature left in the universe, including Satan himself. You want to keep thinking it's safe to be there? Go right ahead. I'm not going to teach you any different if you're that stubborn, but I guarantee you, you're going to learn the hard way. Let's continue on. We can finish this chapter. Let's do it. The fourth paragraph on page 509, we start there. It says, the government under which Jesus lived was corrupt and oppressive on every hand, were crying abuses, extortion, intolerance, and grinding cruelty. History is repeating. Yet the Savior attempted no civil reforms. He attacked no national abuses, nor condemned the national enemies. He did not interfere with the authority or administration of those in power. He who was our example kept aloof from earthly governments, not because he was indifferent to the woes of men, but because the remedy did not lie in merely human and external measures. To be efficient, the cure must reach men individually and must regenerate the heart. What's Christ talking about here, the cure? People who have the leprosy of heathenism, and it is a deadly disease. It's not just going to take your temporal life, it's going to take your eternal life. Don't you think you better know what heathen Laodiceanism is? Good place to start is Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899, or Four Signs of the Times, 50, column 1, paragraph 4, where Christ introduces Satan's people, the heathen, worse than dead, lukewarm Laodiceans, Satan's people, not God's people. And Christ introduces them to us as he has introduced us to them in the past, but now this time all in one place. You don't have to add two or three quotes or one or two quotes together. It's all in one place. Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899, or Four Signs of the Times, 50. God tells us very clearly from his throne in heaven of the reality of heathen worse than dead, lukewarm Laodiceans. Do you notice God calls them worse than dead? Why are they worse than dead? Well, the dead can't deceive people anymore. And the heathen Laodiceans are looking at truth and calling it foolishness, promoting Satan's religion of heathen Laodiceanism in the place of Christian Seventh-day Adventism. Do you not think that that is the ultimate foolishness? To be efficient, God says, the cure must reach men individually. People need to be cured of the leprosy of heathen Laodiceanism. There is a cure. And what's the cure? Conversion. To be converted into a Christian Seventh-day Adventist. That's the cure. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Those of you that are with Christ on the outside of that heathen church of the Laodiceans, knocking by voice and by pamphlets and other things, you're knocking to get in. I'm going to tell you something, because God told it to me first in his word. There is not one single person sitting in the conference church today in silence that'll gain passport through the gates of God's holy city if they remain in that condition. And God describes the number of them in 7 Bible Commentary 970, column 1, paragraph 7, when he says the great mass of professing Christians will meet with bitter disappointment in the day of God. They have not upon their foreheads the seal of the living God. Lukewarm. In other words, they're what? Laodiceans. Lukewarm and half-hearted. They dishonor God far more than the avowed unbeliever. They grope in darkness. When you're groping in darkness, what kind of religion do you have? Heathenism. Darkness is synonymous with heathenism as light is synonymous with Christianity in the Word of God. Wake up! Even in the day of God, then, there's going to be this great mass of lukewarm. In other words, heathen Laodicean Christians. Oh, yes. Oh, boy. That's a conundrum, isn't it? Heathen Laodicean Christians. There's no such thing, friends, but they think there is. They call themselves Christians, and they're really heathen Laodiceans, so don't they think that heathen Laodiceans are also Christians? Remember, these are people who look at truth and call it foolishness. You want to follow them? You want to lay your life on the line with them? Oh, I'm not talking about 100 years here on planet Earth. I'm talking about a life that is punctuated with eternity. You just keep right on not knowing what heathen Laodiceanism is. You just keep right on calling that Christian Seventh-day Adventism and the remnant church, friends. And you're going to find out the hard way what God has been telling you today. There is a cure, remember? Now, if there's a cure, that means there's got to be a disease. That's the way heaven looks upon heathen Laodiceanism. It is a disease stretching all the way back through time to when Christ was on planet Earth, as recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's continue and we can finish this chapter. It says, not by the decisions of courts or councils or legislative assemblies, not by the patronage of worldly great men, in other words, heathen great men, is the kingdom of Christ established, but by the implanting of Christ's nature in humanity through the work of the Holy Spirit. As many as received him, to them gave he power, in other words, the Holy Spirit. The Christian Seventh-day Adventist Holy Spirit. He gave them his power to become the sons of God. In other words, if you have the intelligence and the courage to step out of heathenism today, to stand up and oppose it on the left and the right, heathen Laodiceanism and heathen Babylonianism, God's going to give you power to become a daughter or son of God. He's going to adopt you if you stand up with him against these things. Remember, this is the very thing that murdered him when he came to earth. Heathenism. On the one hand, heathen Laodiceans turning him over to heathen Babylonians, Romans. Heathenism killed Christ. Do you not think that he knows what it is today? Do you not think that he's willing to reward now those who are willing to stand up against it? Here he says he is. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1, verses 12 and 13. Here is the only power that can work the uplifting of mankind and the human agency for the accomplishment of this work is the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. When the Apostle Paul began his ministry in Corinth, that populous, wealthy, and wicked city, in heathenism, by the way, polluted by the nameless vices of heathenism. There we go. You see? The Apostle Paul knew what was Christian and heathen, and he stood up against heathenism. Do you think you can get into God's Christian kingdom and do less? Are you following the Apostle Paul today, or are you following the General Conference President of the Heathen Church of the Laodiceans? Guess where your safety lies. When the Apostle Paul began his ministry in Corinth, that populous, wealthy, and wicked city, polluted by the nameless vices of heathenism, he said, "I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. Writing afterward to some of those who had been corrupted by the foulest sins, he could say, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Do you not see then what's required here? When some who are corrupted by the sins of heathenism turn away from it, here is what God says again. "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit, the Christian Spirit of God." I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. We need lots of Apostle Pauls today, brothers and sisters, don't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, in chapter 1, verse 4. Now, as in Christ's day, do you believe those words? In other words, what is it saying? The history of Christ's day is being repeated. It's the same thing as saying this, quote, now, as in Christ's day, the work of God's kingdom lies not with those who are clamoring for recognition and support by earthly rulers and human laws, but with those who are declaring to the people in His name those spiritual truths that will work in the receivers the experience of Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Then they will labor, as did Paul, for the benefit of men. He said, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. In other words, come out of heathenism. And for the first time in your life, come out of heathen Laodiceanism and find out what Christian Seventh-day Adventism is. Because if you've been in the conference church all your life, you've never been in Christian Seventh-day Adventism. That's what Paul is saying from the past, and that's what God's people are saying today. And what do the great mass of heathen Laodiceans do with these thoughts, these warnings? They call it foolishness. So the next time you're holding forth salvation-related truth that makes clear and decided distinctions between that which is Christian Seventh-day Adventism and heathen Laodiceanism, and some fool stands up and calls you foolish, in the eyes of God, guess who the fool is? Guess who is the one that's really foolish? And yet God held forth something here in this chapter that was extremely important. There is a cure, isn't there? There is a cure. And you can be self-cured by the aid of God. If you're sitting in a conference church today that calls itself Seventh-day Adventism, anywhere in the world, you are dying of a deadly disease called heathen Laodiceanism that you call Christian Seventh-day Adventism. You are diseased and you're deadly to anyone around you because it is a communicable disease. You and nobody else has to make the choice to live. And you have to take your first baby steps toward eternal life by finding out clear and decided distinctions so that you don't make the mistake of joining the heathen in their worship ever again. Clear and decided distinctions between that which is heathen and that which is Christian. We of this home church have been endeavoring to try to tell you that for some 40 different years now. And I can tell you that God's warning in this book is so very true. Can't you? I'm going to be joined by my brother and sisters within our home church when I ask that question. Have you not experienced the same thing that God describes here in this book? I'm sure you have. When you've held forth truth to your beloved one that hadn't taken the first steps into conversion yet, and by the way they've behaved toward you, they've told you that what you said is foolish. God's word here is for you today. He gave you that word so that you would be strengthened in your stand and encouraged. And you need it, friends, because you're also being rejected, misunderstood, reproached, and oppressed. Don't you need just a little bit of encouragement? Stay with these books because they're full of it. They're full of encouragement. And this was an extremely encouraging chapter. Next week we'll continue on in this wonderful book, The Desire of Ages, by beginning chapter 56, Blessing the Children. The home church that is here today, you can look back to day one when we started this book, and we're more than half finished now. Look back to day one. We had a lot of heathen Laodicean stragglers clinging to our shirt tails then. Where are they now? We had a lot of people that extolled the beauty of truth and could understand why it can't be found inside the heathen church of the Laodiceans. Oh, yes, someone says there's truth in there. Oh, yes, there is. But I'm talking about pure truth unmingled by error. There cannot be and there is not any in the heathen church of the Laodiceans. The heathen church of the Laodiceans is in open sin. One cannot be in heathenism without being in open sin. If you know what heathenism is, you'll know that I'm saying the truth. All heathen are openly and highly visible idolaters. They cannot hide from God. They cannot hide from Christians, from those that are living in the hope of being judged by God to be Christian Seventh-day Adventists. They cannot hide. Their religion, be it Sabbath-polluting heathen Laodiceanism, or be it Sunday-keeping heathen Babylonianism, is championed by two different groups of heathen, heathen Laodiceans and heathen Babylonians. The Christian Seventh-day Adventist knows the difference between these two ranks of Satan's armies. And they will not commit treason by betraying the Lord and joining the wrong army. I want to thank you all for coming to worship today. Should we close our worship service and thank God by having prayer? Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much that Jesus was here today and his angels attended our worship and the Holy Spirit taught us from your word. We pray that this word have power as it goes out, your power, and that it reaches the hearts of people who are lost in heathen Laodiceanism specifically, and that they accept of the cure to begin their journey into Christian Seventh-day Adventism. For our beloved ones who are still in heathen Babylonianism, we ask, Father, for your consideration and your Holy Spirit to work with them. For these two groups of beloved heathens, be they heathen Laodiceans or heathen Babylonians, and for ourselves who are wondering and living in the hope of being judged by God to really be Christian, we have this one final thought. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Many today who are on the outside with Christ knocking to get in received a measure of that peace today as we explained and we discussed God's word in Desire of Ages. But many more are sitting out there angry at me for what was said, and they think I'm foolish. And I say amen to that. God has said exactly what the reaction of the majority is going to be. We'll see you next Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Thank you for coming this week. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Goodbye for now.